Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
After years of talk about Ireland's potential to be the Saudi Arabia of offshore wind energy and much criticism as well of the slow pace of progress, this week finally saw the launch of by government of several key parts of the complicated jigsaw. Wait till I tell you what's happened and how it will change all of our lives. On Saturday, we saw the launch of the Shannon Estuary Report, which positions the Midwest as a lead location, they say, for Atlantic offshore wind. Yesterday, then, the National Hydrogen Strategy was published. That outlined what Ireland could do with excess offshore wind energy when it's not all needed by consumers or customers here. And today, a big one, the new marine regulator called MARA. It was launched, and the aim of MARA is to regulate maritime activity, including plans for offshore energy infrastructure. Huge amount of plans. Eamon Ryan, the Minister for Transport, Climate, Environment and Communications, joins me now in studio. You're very welcome indeed
Thank
to the programme. I don't know if I've had many ministers in to talk about so many plans in such quick succession. We'll get to those in just a moment. Can I ask you about RTE? Mm-hmm. Because again today, at the PAC. Let me read you one text actually we've got from a listener. Rabbit holes, mazes, labyrinths sums up for me the mind-frazzling experience of watching again the Ethics Committee hearing today. People are I think they've lost an awful lot of trust in what they're hearing. But again, questions today about Ryan Tuberty's future. Would you like to see him back on Radio 1 quickly?
Well, two things can I say about that trust? And yes, all this issue about barter accounts and the whole everything that's unfolded is very damaging. But let's keep perspective on it. RTE have served this country very well over my lifetime. And at this point, more than anything else, you need good quality broadcasting, journalism and entertainment. And in a time when there's real disinformation, fake news, artificial intelligence, who do you believe? Well, I trust RTE. And I think...
Would you like to see Ryan Tuberty back?
That's not a job for the political system. One of the ways...
Okay, let me ask that question in a different way then. Do you think he could come back until all of this is resolved?
I do, but that's a matter for the RTE management.
Before there is accountability or before the report?
Obviously, no. I mean, obviously...
So not until the investigations are
My colleague, Minister Catherine Martin, I think has done absolutely the right thing by putting in the forensic accountants, working with Kevin Backhurst now and the chairwoman of the board and doing the really detailed analysis that's needed as to what both corporate governance and cultural issues, and that work will be done quickly, and that will really help restore trust. There has been trust lost. But
Your opinion, it wouldn't be possible, if it were to happen at all, to reinstate Ryan Tuberty on Radio 1
until those investigations have concluded. First and foremost, in the strength of public broadcasting and in other media outlets, is that there's an independence between the political system. That's a question, a judgment call for RT management, not for the political system.
Okay. The non-appearance at the committee by Moya Doherty and Breed O'Keefe, they're not reappearing today, despite grave, as I pointed out to Brian Stanley, grave inconsistencies in evidence that they could possibly help with. Should they be compelled if they don't come again?
I'm not sure if the committee have the legal powers to compel people in those circumstances.
Brian Stanley said they were looking at it.
Well, I think that's his job then. Let him make the call. I heard him on your show earlier. I think what he said is true. I mean, I haven't been able to follow the hearings. I was busy in Cabinet yesterday. I was in Wexford today. What I heard him say is that 3 weeks into this, they're not necessarily any clearer on some of the key issues. I think that it has been a very difficult process. And I think it's his job and the committee members there to decide how they want to advance the question.
Okay, my last question here before I really want to move on to the renewable stuff. Reports today that Fine Gael are talking about conditionality being attached to more funding for RTE. Is that something you'd agree with?
What conditionality?
That's what I mean.
I don't know what that is. I don't think that makes... I mean, sorry, conditionality in terms of reform and improvement and making sure RTE works to its best. There could be conditionality as well in terms of it's not just funding of RTE. We do need to fund other media. Like, it's important that we have strong Irish journalism and media at this time. But I don't think... Going back to that point you're making, do we want to run the television or radio service? No, that would be the worst outcome.
Okay, so can we talk about the renewable plans? A huge amount of plans. The new authority minister to oversee development in Ireland sees that the Maritime Area Regulatory Authority, or MARA, we're going to get used to this now. Well, what will it do?
It'll make sure we have a much clearer planning and permitting system for a whole range of maritime activities in relation to marine area. Your introduction was a good one in the sense that it did recognise that that news today is in the back of other significant news during the week. Like at Ardna Crusher last week, what we said as a government is that just as back 100 years ago, the state made a bold move to invest in the power of the Shannon to run the country. Now we're going to use the power of the Atlantic, not just to power and run our country, but to give us the opportunity of selling some of the excess power we have, in offshore wind particularly, to the rest of the world. And as you said, one of the other key initiatives in that that will allow us to do this is the strategy government agreed on Tuesday, where we'll convert some of that surplus wind energy and solar power into hydrogen. You split water using electricity from renewable power. You split the hydrogen from the oxygen. You store the hydrogen and you use that to provide power at times when the wind isn't blowing. You use it to provide sustainable aviation fuels. You use it to power your heavy industry that are very hard to decarbonize. And then today, and again, I heard that chap from the law firm who was arguing for coordination. Well, a lot of what we were what he was arguing for, I believe we're actually delivering.
Where?
Well, firstly, on board Panola, exactly as he says, we are providing the resources and the expert marine planners, ecologists, scientists who can help make sure that we get the development right for local communities.
But the point that he was making is that on board Panola is vastly under-resourced, that they're drowning under a sea of applications.
No, they're actually being resourced. They were under-resourced. That's absolutely clear and true, but that is changing. And similarly, I think as he recognised and acknowledged, MARA is a critical organisation to similarly complement the existence of An Bord Pleanála, so that a lot of the work is done before you go into planning. So you get a lot of the consents and you get a lot of the certainty. You de-risk projects as much as possible while maintaining public confidence that this is done not in a developer's interest, but in the nation, the people's interest.
Yeah, but it all will depend on how well MARA is resourced. So in terms of personnel, you'll have to hire key personnel. How many personnel will it have? What kind of a budget will it have?
It already has 20. It's Minister Dara O'Brien is going to be responsible for developing it. It has just literally started today. The chief executive started. There will be no restrictions in the necessary budget. An organisation like that, well, that the government sees this as first priority.
So what's the start of budget? When will it be operational from?
Monday.
So what's its budget for the next year?
The budget this year would be in the order of between 2 and 5 million. I'm going unestimated now. But there will be no restriction in what's available, because government is saying that this is just as we made that decision to invest in Ardna Crusher. We're making this decision now to invest particularly in offshore energy, recognising that not only do we get gain from putting the power turbines out there and building that up, but when the power comes ashore, particularly in the west of Ireland, particularly in the southwest and northwest, it allows for a rebalancing of the country, because that's where the huge energy resource is. And by being good at this, it allows us to develop the west coast as well as the east, which is happening
million,
at the moment.
2 to 5 million is a puny budget, isn't it?
No, it's not. That would provide the staffing
needed. What's the comparable budget for An Bord Pleanála, for example?
I don't have the exact figure, Cormac.
But it's much lower, isn't it?
Yes, but this is only in its first week. Well, it will build up and it will grow. And it will be given the necessary resources we need.
And okay, what about the legal challenges? Because Aidan Eames, who's an expert in this area, is saying if you don't have one point of contact to process all of these challenges, that it could be delayed for up to eight years. If you look at the evidence from the Children's Hospital and what's going on there, for example, and the delays there. Yeah. He's right, isn't he?
We launched MARA this morning at 12 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, we had a latest meeting in what is already that single point of contact. We've established a task force in government for the development of offshore renewables. It brings together all the key government departments. It brings together the key agencies like our transmission grid company, our enterprise agencies. It brings in both environmental NGOs and industry. It has set up a system where we listen and work with the fishing communities so that their interests are taken into account. So we have that single point of contact.
But with 20 people and a budget of 2 million.
No, the entire of my department and Dara O'Brien's department and every other government agency is focused on us being fast, fair, and delivering on the opportunity that exists to switch to this clean form of power.
You say there's vast amount of job opportunities here. The Shannon Estuary report, for example, you say there could be 10,000 jobs in the back of this by 2035. What kind of jobs are you talking about?
I think the first most important jobs are in, well, firstly, in deployment of the technology. In the likes of Shannon Foyne's, we could develop a manufacturing capability in the foundations, the concrete foundations that these turbines need. We have all the necessary materials. We have the quarries and we have the aggregate and we have the stone in that region, which would allow us to be a manufacturing centre here, not just for our needs, but actually to export to the rest of Europe. But more importantly, when that power comes ashore, in factories like, if you look in Sean Nestry, Ogonish Alumina or Irish Cement, which are our two biggest probably industrial processing heat systems, rather than burning gas there, we could burn that hydrogen I just mentioned, mm-hmm. which would give that business, those businesses, a much more sustainable footing in the country.
Okay.
On the other side of the estuary, Shannon Airport has tanks that were built about 30 years ago, which can store fuel under the apron. I've gone over to the US Transport Minister, Pete Buttigieg, and said, if we're going to develop zero carbon sustainable fuels to allow for transatlantic travel, I'd like Shannon to be the point and location where they come first, as it always has been in history.
Okay.
And to be able to store those synthetic e-fuels, those low carbon fuels, and develop them is one of the other opportunities. And in that way, guarantee the future of Shannon Airport and the region. It's that sort of opportunity.
You said when the renewable energy comes ashore, when will that be?
2027, 2028, depending on how quickly we can get through the planning system.
Okay.
What the gentleman said earlier is true.
If you listen to Aidan Eames.
No, we will deliver in this decade. Okay. Absolutely certain.
Can I ask you before I let you out the door about the cost of living crisis? Mm. Because we're covering various aspects of it on this programme. And come the autumn, when the cold winter starts again and people will feel the pinch in terms of heating bills and so on, and they might have difficulty in meeting their rent even. An eviction ban has been ruled out by Minister Dara O'Brien. Are you in agreement?
Yes, I think the evidence shows that it could create greater difficulties rather than the short-term benefit you might gain.
So what about the fear people might have about evictions?
We have to avoid that. And we did set up in government on Tuesday, the cabinet had discussion, and the first right of refusal, a measure that the Green Party proposed in the government process, so that if someone is at fear of eviction because a landlord is selling a property, they have the right and we have the capability.
Sky high prices though, Minister.
No.
I mean, you're basically turning around to the tenant who might be struggling to pay rent, saying, okay, do you want to buy your home for sky high prices, record prices?
Not sky high prices.
Record
Firstly,
prices.
It's working with tenants in situ already where people in receipt of social welfare are able to get have that and have a social housing outcome, which is very
okay.
affordable.
So fundamentally, you say, no way, we won't bring back an eviction ban again.
All the advice, including from Threshold and other housing agencies, that while it might politically, from an opposition point, look for an easy solution, but would it actually do more harm or good in the long run?
Depending if there's adequate supply of emergency accommodation for people who may be evicted as well, I think is what they said.
True.
Can I ask you finally, we spoke yesterday, it broke my heart to be brutally honest with you, my conversation with 82-year-old Michael Harwood from my own county in Galway. He lives in a one-bed flat, and he received a bill for €940 from Electricity Ireland, and he can't pay it. He's the income of a pensioner.
Mm.
He doesn't go out. He doesn't have the odd pint. He couldn't afford it. The only luxury he has, he says, is a television his brother gave him and the odd package of eggs. What comfort can you give him?
Well, first comfort we gave him in the last year, the government gave a series of four €200 payments to every single customer, €800 in total, to try and avoid just those exact
They're
circumstances.
Gone,
well, we'll come back and look in the budget again next year. We've also said very clearly, if anyone is in any difficulty like that, and obviously clearly we're all, that's our first concern, that they contact their supplier first of all and work with the supplier.
He did that.
Yes.
Do you know what they said to him? Try 50 quid a week.
Well, but that's first port of call. The second port of call is to contact the social welfare office and look for supplementary welfare assistance, which will be provided to make sure that no one is in this situation where they have to be fearful of whether they have power or able to feed or to keep themselves warm and safe and healthy.
The problem
that
is,
absolutely is a commitment that we will provide those sort of supports to avoid that impossible choice.
Based on my conversation yesterday with Michael Harwood, there are many other Michael Harwoods in the country who can't pay their bills and don't know where to turn. And they feel, rightly or wrongly, that the help you're giving them as a government is inadequate.
And we will continue to review that and make sure it is adequate and that we make sure that we don't leave anyone behind in this transition. The biggest security, the long term, the the reason why the earlier part of this story is important, the reason we have such high prices is because we're dependent on imported fossil fuels that are burning our planet. We need to switch away from them, not just to protect our own natural environment, but also to turn to our own fuels, which are cheaper, more secure, and avoid that situation in the future where high fossil fuel prices bring us into trouble.
The sooner that happens, the better. Minister Eamon Ryan of the Green Party, thank you very much indeed for joining us.